This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by Manscaped. Hey folks, it's Jake Miller from The Drive, and Manscaped is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped's Performance Package, the ultimate men's hygiene bundle. Join over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code 20DRIVE. That's 20DRIVE at manscaped.com. And if my math is correct, that's about 8 million balls.
It's time for The Drive's Top 5 at 5.
All right, quick time on your Monday, 5 o'clock here on Fan Run Radio. Russell LeBaire back with you. It's time to send things back to Jake Miller with the Top 5 at 5 brought to you this afternoon by Knoxville Smiles. Jake?
Thank you, Russell. Up first, Banner Dan has done it again. Tony Vitello and the Vols bringing home a ton of awards, all SEC first team. Some individual honors. Tony Vitello also gets Coach of the Year.
Whoa. Back up the truck for just a second.
Okay.
Banner Dan?
Banner Dan.
That's what we're calling Danny White now?
Hey, I mean, if you looked at the statistics across all sports this past calendar year, Tennessee had the highest winning percentage across all sports in the Southeastern Conference.
It's a pretty good nickname, Banner Dan. I like it.
I got to say, I don't hate it.
What about this one? We got it from Travis Cabbage on Twitter. Jimbo Okio.
Yeah, Jimbokio. That's good.
Jimbokio.
Yeah.
Jimbokio.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's better. Banner Dan is pretty good, though, Jake. That is growing on me. Now, you're going to have to live up to it. You call a guy Banner Dan, those banners better keep showing up.
I mean, they've showed up so far.
Let's put the poll in the field. Banner Dan, are we going with that as a nickname for Danny White?
Banner Dan.
I like it. Go ahead, Jake.
All righty. Number two, NBA playoff action tonight. Game 4 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Miami leads the series 2-1. Miami, Boston, 8:30, ABC. Boston enters as a 7-point favorite.
Wow. What's the deal with Jimbo?
Jimmy B says he's playing.
Okay.
His knee's going to have to be swollen for that guy tonight. I mean, I don't know much, but watching Jimmy Butler, Eastern Conference Finals, I kind of feel like you'd have to really go out of your way to keep that guy from playing.
Kind of a must-win tonight for the Celtics, right? You don't want to go back down to Miami down 3-1.
No.
Mm-mm.
No, at that point, you're done. Number three, the Washington Commanders paid more than $100 million for land in Virginia, a possible next step in building a new stadium as well as numerous retail shops, restaurants, and apartments. Seeing this a lot more now with the stadium being the center of it, but also building restaurants, apartment complex, basically like a little mini town.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know that they should be doing that. Anything. Did you see the reports over the weekend? I'm trying to think where I saw this one. The other owners may force Snyder to sell. Like, there's more and more talk of that being a real thing.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, it always has felt to me like this is where, or that's where this whole thing is headed. But yeah, I don't know. What do you guys like that? I know, Wrigley Field, for instance, it's the one ballpark in the major leagues, right, without parking. You have to take the train essentially to get there, or park blocks and blocks and blocks away, a really long walk.
There's a reason I've never been to a game.
Yeah, well, I mean, even, they've always had bars and stuff, but they've really expanded the area around that where you go now and it's an experience outside the stadium you know, the Braves moved out to the suburbs so that they could build one of those things. And it's like a giant, like, shopping commercial complex thing. The days and age of just going to a stadium to watch a sporting game are pretty much over.
And we're seeing it here in Knoxville. Number four, Denver Nuggets president of basketball operations Tim Connelly has agreed to a five-year deal worth over $40 million that includes ownership equity to oversee the Minnesota Timberwolves basketball operations. The deal makes him one of the highest paid executives and transforms a Timberwolves franchise that has struggled to find stability in its leadership status.
Are they stable with Anthony Edwards and Carl Anthony Towns? Is that a franchise that is on its way to a championship, or are they just sort of one of these teams that makes the playoffs and no further?
I feel like they're a team that is run by a group that only cares about the profit, and they're doing it just to say that they own an NBA team.
Who always gets accused of that in baseball? Is it the Rays?
Dodgers. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of one.
The Dodgers spend.
Yeah.
Well, you look at this trend of private equity groups buying up big sports franchises. And trying to streamline them and basically just turn them into piggy banks. And it's not cool when you're a fan of that team and there isn't that emotional investment from ownership in the club. So, yeah, that's
and all their,
I don't know enough about the specifics of the Timberwolves situation, but to me, they reek of a franchise that's – they're still missing a piece, man, still missing a piece.
Yeah, there's a famed Formula One team, Williams, that got bought out. Finally, the family had to put it up for sale, the Williams family, to one of those, like what you're talking about, venture capitalists. And, I mean, they're horrible now. I mean, they finished dead last at week after week after week. So all those people are looking at it's the bottom line.
Yeah, it's like Richard Petty Motorsports.
So.
Or Petty Interpret, whatever they are now.
That not sharing the money, you know, the funny business with the financial stuff in Washington is going to be what gets this guy. Withholding money from the NFL and
yeah,
the other teams and all that stuff. So do whatever you want until you start messing with the other rich guy's money.
That's how it usually works. And number five, officials held a ceremony Monday for the removal of the last public payphone in New York City. The payphone was removed with a crane from a sidewalk on 7th Ave and 50th Street in Midtown Manhattan, just south of Times Square, marking what officials called the end of the payphone era.
Wow.
I mean, you used to go to New York when I was a kid. They were everywhere.
Now, was it a phone booth like Superman used to get changed in? Or one of those where it's just like a stationary, like, open-air thing, you walk up to it and
there were like,
make your call.
There were like three of them.
Yeah, it's not like the cool ones that you see in London.
It wasn't a phone box. That's what those are called in London.
Well, I mean, I guess I can't remember the last time I used a payphone. But, yeah, that's a relic of the past, I suppose.
I had to use one time.
It was great for making prank calls from.
Oh, heck yeah, they were.
Oh, yeah. Or, you know, if you're Better Call Saul and you got to run out there and make a call on a line that you're sure can't be traced or something. Drug dealers everywhere are missing the payphone right now. That's probably who this affects the most in New York City.
No, they stopped using those a long time ago. They're really easy to get taps on. You watch The Wire, you'd know this stuff, Russ.
So, is that five?
That is five.
Thank you, Jake. Top five at five. Brought to you by Knoxville Smiles. You can check them out online at knoxvillesmiles.com. Dr. Stephen Malone and Dr. Michael Costa take great pride in listening to and communicating with their patients to help them make the best, most informed decisions about their dental health. Dr. Malone's been doing it for a quarter century now. Hard to believe. He's not an old man. He's a young man. Dr. Stephen Malone. He's my dentist. 25 years in Knoxville. Man, time flies. Routine dental cleanings, wisdom tooth removal, restorative procedures, fillings, crowns, bridges, veneers, Invisalign, implants. They do it all at Knoxville Smiles right there in their state-of-the-art facility on South Peters Road in West Knoxville. Give them a call today to set up your appointment, 865-539-1776. Or again, just go online to KnoxvilleSmiles.com. Russell Bear, Jake with you. Marcus hanging out with us this afternoon as we will go open lines the rest of the way here. You want to jump in, take a shot. 865-546-8200. Your number to get in the show this afternoon as we break things down. David on Twitter says, Tennessee, this is reference to the Lady Vol discussion we had in the track program thing last hour. Tennessee is the only Power 5 school still using Lady in the nickname. It seems ridiculous to me since our school nickname, Volunteers, is not gender specific, and many women have made the ultimate sacrifice as volunteers in the military. It's one perspective.
I mean, is it? Maybe I'm in the minority here. I don't see it as that big of a deal.
It's not something that I don't think anybody is losing. It just seems like they tried to change it. People got upset, and it was like, okay, is this really a fight we want to continue to have? No, okay, we'll just change it back.
Well, here's my thing behind it. Does it affect how they perform on the field or the court?
No.
Then why does it even matter?
Because Jake, it's about how those folks feel about themselves and about honoring a tradition and a sisterhood and all those things. And I would say that, like, I don't disagree with David or anybody who, like my friend Christopher Gabriel, who says that we should get rid of it and just be volunteers across the board. All I would say is that, to me, the outrage that we heard from the folks who were sad to see Lady Vols go 5-plus years ago, whenever that decision was made, was much louder than, I wouldn't even call it outrage, but just the puzzlement expressed by the other side in this debate that says, why don't we just all have the same nickname? So I would just, hey, man, if it matters that much to them, then by all means, you be called whatever you want to be called. I would just say, hey, it hasn't affected football at all. Hasn't affected men's basketball at all. Certainly hasn't affected baseball. So, like, I think we're going to live, right?
Oh, yeah. That's way down on my list of powers.
Banner Dan is not exactly drawing rave reviews. I'm kind of surprised, man. I like this. I think this is one of Jake's better contributions to the Discord since he's been on with us. But 82 votes cast at Fox Sports Knox on Twitter. Do you like Banner Dan as a nickname for UT AD Danny White? 67.1% of the audience says no.
Interesting.
Just haters on Twitter. Just haters on social media. People just want to hate. Nobody likes anything. Bunch of miserable people on social media.
Always got something to complain about. It's sunny out. I wanted it to rain. It's raining. I wanted it to be sunny. My food's hot.
Captain
I wanted it to be
Valding,
cold.
Captain Valding wants it to be the plumber.
The plumber?
That was because of... the leaks, right? He was searching out the leaks, and he had like a Nixonian quest to tamp down on leaks in the athletics department.
I was going to say he's pumping out something.
I
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, I don't either.
Lynn says, Dan the man. See, that's just generic and boring, Lynn. Hey, listen. I respect the two-thirds of you that evidently don't like this. Until he gives me a reason not to, I'm calling the guy Banner Dan. I like it.
What about Dan the Banner Man?
What?
Dan the Banner Man.
But Dr. Dan the Banner Man.
Dr. Dan the Banner Man.
Tennessee baseball plays at 5:30 p.m. on Wednesday. They'll get the winner of Ole Miss and Vanderbilt. I'm told that if Tennessee wins Wednesday, they would not play until the 9 p.m. game on Thursday, which would put a dent in our watch party plans. And if we lose, I feel like people, it's going to take some of the wind out of our sails, and people aren't going to want to come out there. I don't know. We'll workshop this.
Why don't we just do a crawfish boil?
Do what?
Why don't we just do a crawfish boil?
You're missing the conflict here, Jake. It's not what we do or where we do it necessarily. It's will the time. Like I'm not – I love the people at Jets. I'm not getting there at 2:30 to set up for a 3-6 show and then staying for a baseball game that starts at 9 and won't end till midnight. I love Jets. I'm not doing 9 hours there.
I'll spend 9 hours at Jets.
I can't spend 9 hours anywhere.
Delaney, you put me in the kitchen. I'll go to work.
Yeah. I don't want her to have to deal with that.
Worked in restaurants before.
Tennessee, we not even you guys might have talked about it a bit before I joined this afternoon, but we talked about the awards. And did you run down the awards? Was that number one, Jake?
I just listed off all SEC and Tony Vitello.
Okay, good. Man, it's way too early in the week for my brain to be this fried bear. I can't remember what was number one on the top five at five. It was 17 minutes ago.
What's going on with you?
I don't know, but this is not a good sign for the week. Oh, man, I might be even more delirious than
some of the stuff I did. You're forgetful, making me doubt whether or not I knew that UT Sports put out a statement saying they'd parted ways with their track coach. I mean, you're playing my hits today, bud.
Maybe Chris was right. Maybe he was at the bar at Jets.
No. He was stuck in traffic.
So, the baseball thing, breaking out the broomsticks out there in Starkville, Stark Vegas, the cowbells. Feel sorry for those folks. It's the one thing they had. The one thing they had to go along with their traffic light that was just installed in beautiful downtown Starkville was their baseball program was the defending national champions, and Tony Vitello and the boys come and took that away from them too. Just swallowed their soul. I mean, they showed the heart of a champion coming back in game two and fighting after Tennessee did the barrel job on them Thursday. They come out there Friday night. They compete their asses off, take a 3-2 lead, and it looked like a 3-1 lead, right? I mean, it looked like we were donezo. It looked like we were dead in the water. And then Drew Gilbert, oh, my God, like just comes up there and erases them. Just wiped them off the face. It's like we talk about Andrew Wiggins dunk last night. Ultra, just a series ender. I mean, that was a series ender by Gilbert. As soon as that ball cleared the wall, it was like game over, series over. They were done.
He wore that guy out coming around third base, didn't he?
Well,
I wonder if anybody you want to know who I want to hear wired up? Not Grant Williams.
Yeah.
I want Gilbert. Give me Gilbert wired up on SEC Network.
You can't do that.
Put it on late night.
Well, that guy, that pitcher, that Mississippi State pitcher,
oh, he was talking smack.
Us, he had us like questioning ourselves. I mean, he's one of those guys. We've seen that a couple times this year. Tennessee Tech had a guy do that to us. That dude from Kentucky did it to us, where every now and then a guy just gets in a groove, can't hit him. And this dude from State was talking that noise. That was his mistake. He was talking that noise. He was poking the bear. He was poking. And then their coach made a mistake, left him in one batter too long. I can't believe they let him pitch to Drew Gilbert when he was obviously toast. He'd thrown over 110 pitches, and they left him in to face Gilly Goopair. He took him opposite field.
I mean, his numbers are – what'd you say is – what's he batting this year?
Oh, he was he led the lead. He was like 350.
You're going to barely hold on to a lead against us, and you're gonna pitch to that guy.
Yeah, that was Lamontis. Not a good move.
No.
Not a good move.
No, it's bold strategy. Cotton, let's see how it worked out for you.
That Sam Smith guy's chimed in on Twitter. Feel bad about coming at this dude because he's a loyal listener. He's always tweeting me, but golly, man. I mean, he's more negative than Phil.
You're kidding me. What's he saying? No way anybody's more negative than Phil.
Oh, it's possible.
This guy, Sam Smith on Twitter, is just the worst. I appreciate him listening, man. I'm sure. And the thing is, some of these guys on social media that are just so miserable, like you meet them, they're probably nice enough guys. I know several of them in person that are like super nice guys, got it together, family people, just super sweet guys that you would never suspect it. And then their social media account, their Twitter account, they're just ruthless.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's just how the internet is, dude. It's awful.
But anyway, Sam says, you can't be called Banner Dan when your men's basketball team hasn't made it out of the first weekend in the 2 years he's been here.
They won the SEC tournament.
Yeah. We just won the SEC regular season baseball championship.
That's what really irks me is people were always talking about that SEC tournament deal. And then we finally break through and we win it and win it handily. And now it's not that big of a deal. Not to the Legion. Obviously, Sam's wanting to get invited over to the cookouts that Phil hangs out at with the rest of the Legion of the Miserable.
No, I mean, like, to be fair, I mean, Rick Barnes, like, that's not Danny White's hire either. And so, I mean, he can't really take the credit or the blame for basketball. It just sort of is what it is. I mean, we're having this conversation about Danny White. The guy's been here for a year. He's made one hire. Granted, it is in the biggest sport of all, right? He made the football hire. And hey, the jury's still out on Josh Heupel. That's fair, right? I mean, nobody's crowning any football coach after 1-7-6 season. I mean, maybe Banner Dan is a little bit presumptuous. But, man, can we just have some fun around here? Is it okay to be positive? Is it okay to live in our hopes? Is it okay to celebrate and be happy? Is that okay in 2022, a social media age, or are we all just pissed off all the time? That's just how it's got to be.
He's got to be mad. Be the best day in the world, and you're going to go home and eat a frozen chicken pot pie because you hate your life that bad.
I don't know about all that, but, yeah, basically, I mean, the internet and social media in particular are just a stinking cesspool of negativity. You just now figuring this out?
Oh, man.
You know, with the Dr. Banner thing, you could think about with, you know, Bruce Banner? Dr. Danny Banner?
You trying to go all comic book nerd on us in here, just a Marcus?
Little bit. Wow.
I prefer that.
I gotta say, young Marcus Young's contributions to the show have been somewhat lacking today. Just gonna point that out there. Just gonna leave that out there.
God, man.
How about that Premier League, guys?
That's not helping your case, son.
Stay with us. The drive continues. Fan Run Radio, 865-546-8200. If you want to jump in, we'll find out who's on the docket. Brought to you by Fox and Farmer. Coming up next.
The drive.
All right, it is time for the docket, brought to you by Fox and Farmer, the car wreck pro attorneys. An inmate who escaped from a Knox County detention facility is back in custody, according to the sheriff's office. 29-year-old Philip Donay of Knoxville escaped the facility on Sunday, according to the sheriff's office. Reports from the office said Officer Earl Jenkins was bringing a group of inmates inside from the recreation yard at 3:34 p.m., when an inmate mentioned to Jenkins that another inmate was missing. The inmate told Jenkins that the escapee had, quote, went over the fence. Jenkins asked the group who the escapee was, and no one answered him. Jenkins then immediately told the inmates to get in their bunks so he could count them. After Jenkins counted the bunks, he realized the missing inmate was Donay. The camera in the facility shows Donay jumping over the fence at 3:12 p.m., KPD officers located Donay at 3:37 p.m. in a stolen vehicle on West Woodland Avenue at I-275. A short pursuit occurred before Donay drove the vehicle off the road to the edge of a tree line and abandoned the vehicle. Officers were able to capture and arrest Donay for escape and theft of property. He was originally incarcerated for a violation of probation and aggravated domestic assault. The investigation into his escape remains ongoing.
Interesting.
I'm trying to figure out how he got over the fence without getting cut to just pieces on the razor wire.
I love how they say jumped over the fence.
That's like
it's Sonic the Hedgehog on the Sega Genesis.
That's a climb over it. Pretty sure it's like a 12-foot fence with like a spool of razor wire on top.
Yeah, all C-wire.
I would imagine so. Did he have, like, sometimes in the movies you'll see a guy has, like, a blanket or even a shirt or something that he kind of lays across the wire?
There's no laying across razor wire, I don't think. I mean, you can do it with barbed wire somewhat. That just seems like the guy's in jail.
Yeah.
Pretty sure his name's Jones, by the way, not Donay.
At 3:12 in the afternoon, it should not be that easy to escape, right?
I mean, you never know. It's shift change. What time? 3:30?
3:12 in the afternoon, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That's right around shift change, though. But no, it should never happen at a jail. I'm amazed he got as far as he did.
What I want to know is, he stole a car at the sheriff's office. What did he steal a cop car?
That would be incredibly stupid. I mean,
it would also be like, well, I mean, you know, you can't be beggars cannot be choosers in that situation. You get over the fence, you're lucky enough. At that point, it's not like you're not at Hertz Rent-A-Car, right? Oh, give me a minivan with a couple of extra bucket seats in the back. It's like, no, you take what you can get.
Yeah, see, but the thing about it is you can try. I doubt it was like a police vehicle, a law enforcement vehicle, because those things probably have three or four different GPS.
I mean, it only took him 25 minutes to find him.
Yeah, I would say he maybe jumped in somebody's car that they drove into work. I don't know. New cars are kind of hard to hotwire, I've heard. So,
meanwhile, Brownsville, Texas, a man accused of forging signatures on divorce papers before marrying another woman has been arrested. 25-year-old Joshua Eduardo Rosales was arrested on a charge of bigamy. March 9th, victim filed a report with the Brownsville Police Department stating that Rosales was forging signatures to produce divorce papers. According to police, Rosales forged the victim and judge's signatures and then got married to another woman. We got some guys with some cojones on the docket today.
Yeah, we do.
Mm-hmm.
What are you in here for? Bigamy. Bigamy.
That would be a pretty cool, like, if you got to have charges, bigamy. I mean,
I don't feel like that's going to, you know, instill any kind of fear or intimidation into your new friends.
Well, no, but like, you just don't want to you just don't want to have bad charges when you're on the yard.
Right.
I feel like Big and Me, people are just going to, they're going to want to hear your story. Yeah, they're not going to be scared of you, but nobody's going to mess with you either.
Probably.
That's what I do. Like, just people go through hard divorces all the time. Just forge the significant other's name on the divorce papers. Easy peasy, right?
It's just not thinking things through.
No.
Because now he's going to get, you know, he's charged with bigamy. First wife is definitely divorcing him.
Bigamy. Yeah.
And probably the second one, too.
That's expensive.
What you in here for, Bill? Bigamy.
Bigamy.
What a moron.
And finally, a visitor to Disney World dubiously claims she is the victim of credit card fraud valued at over $40,000 after dropping her Apple Watch on a ride at Epcot. Stories of lost or misplaced Apple devices are a regular occurrence. It's rare for device owners to lose significant sums from the loss. In one report on April 13th, a trip to Disney World in Florida, an Apple Watch owner claims just that. According to a report from the Orange County Sheriff's Office, seen by WDW News Today, a park guest lost her Apple Watch on the Seas with Nemo and Friends at Epcot.
Okay.
They lost it at a point when the ride is at an elevated position. The guest dropped the Hermes Edition Apple Watch through a grated floor on the ride.
That's the most expensive one.
The report claims the woman's husband got off the ride to try and get the Apple Watch back, prompting operators to stop the ride. A park cast member then instructed the couple to stay on the ride while it was in motion and assured them that they'd get their watch back and it would be returned to their hotel. After filing an incident report with Disney Guest Relations, the woman was advised that the staff did not have the watch. Complicating the incident is a claim that the woman started to receive fraud alerts for her credit card. She says that several credit cards were loaded onto the Apple Watch, including an American Express card with unlimited credit. Fraud alerts allegedly totaled $40,000 in charges to her card. They shut down the cards. Got to get that. I don't know. I'm going to go ahead and, like, I hope that she gets all her charges put back on the card, obviously. Feels like most modern, you know, I'm sure American Express has a process you go through for that.
Russell, here's my question.
The thing about the Apple Watch is, it's a watch, right?
Yeah.
You keep it on your arm. I don't think you want to. What on a ride at Disney World is not the time to take the watch off your wrist and be fiddling with it.
I mean, the strap may have broke on it. Why did you call it a dubious claim?
Because you have to bring that up, man. I'm reading this from AppleInsider.com, and it struck me as I'm reading it. This is an Apple website, and so they're trying to make it sound they don't want you to not buy the Apple Watch, right?
Yeah.
How do they get the passcode to the Apple Watch to be able to use the Apple Wallet is my question.
Yeah, see, mine too. It's not even Apple Wallet. I've got Apple Pay.
Yeah, like in order
like
to use
it all the time.
Because if you want to use your wallet on your watch, like I have to put in my passcode, then go to the wallet, and then select my method of payment, and then tap it on whatever machine I'm using in order to use that.
We'll have to keep an eye on this story, Russell, because if it is dubious and there's some funny business going on with this lady, I'm sure we'll find out.
I just debunked what happened.
I mean, maybe
it's a fraud.
Yeah, maybe it's a false claim. Maybe it's just she's one of these people that it's like on my iPhone. Like, if you get my iPhone, I would rather you get my wallet than my iPhone, right?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
They've got, you know, there's a passcode on it, but nobody likes to put their passcode in every time you look at your phone. I think mine's set for like an hour. If I don't look at it in an hour,
What do you mean? You don't have facial recognition?
No, I've never set that up. Should I?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. It's a life changer.
It's the only way. You just point at your... Yeah, you just look at your phone and swipe up. There's no code to hack or anything.
I don't know. That seems even more 1984 to me than...
What?
It's just reading my face. I don't know. But anyway. I mean, maybe it's one of those things where she didn't have her security set up as rigorously as she perhaps should have.
I mean, that's the only way you can... I had, like, Apple Pay and all that stuff. I don't know if you have to do it, but that's when I finally put, like, security, like, you know, you either have to use a code or do the face recognition thing on my phone. I think I've got like a 6-digit PIN I can put in.
Yeah.
Folks, that is the docket brought to you by Fox and Farmer, the car wreck pro attorneys. If you've been injured in an automobile or on the job accident, don't let your settlement add insult to that injury. Fox and Farmer have more than 100 years of combined experience helping East Tennesseans get the settlements they deserve. You know, many people are intimidated by large insurance companies. They don't know their rights, and they think it'll cost a fortune to fight their case out in court. At Fox and Farmer, they believe in making sure the little guy has a big voice, and they'll stand up to anybody to protect you and make sure you're treated fairly. Call Fox and Farmer today for a free consultation, 865-531-9400. That's 531-9400. They're online at foxandfarmer.com. Fox and Farmer. Attorneys at law, the car wreck pro attorneys, getting it done every single day. We're going to get it done when we continue. Final segment, Speak Now Forever, Hold Your Peace, 865-546-8200. Back to wrap things up right after this.
The Drive.
See where your boy got headbutted during the Manchester City title celebration yesterday, Bear?
Which one, Liam or Noel?
Noel.
Oh, yeah. He also, I think he was blitzed, man. He ended up singing his own song. It was weird, man. He was in the stands, and the whole stadium started belting out Don't Look Back in Anger, and he threw in right with him. So
Noel Gallagher, Oasis, former Oasis rock star Noel Gallagher.
He ain't no former rock star. He's still a rock star.
I'm reading from the story. What do you want from me? Don't get all defensive.
Put some respect on the man's name.
Had to receive stitches on his face after being accidentally headbutted by Ruben Diaz's father as the pair celebrated Manchester City's thrilling comeback to clinch the Premier League title on Sunday. The musician said he was, quote, covered in blood moments after his side fought back to win against Aston Villa at the Etihad in a dramatic final game of the season.
That's minor for him. Some of the other stuff that's happened to him. It's not the first time he's been covered in blood.
And it probably won't be the last.
Not with a mouth like he's got, him and his brother. They both had all their teeth knocked out.
He got a real party mouth.
He says stuff that makes people mad.
Have you seen it? No, of course you haven't.
Nope.
Golly. Have you watched any of the movies I've suggested so far?
Nope.
I'm giving up, Russ.
I mean, he's so far behind at this point. I mean, it's almost hopeless.
Yeah, it's like when you don't change the oil in your car for like 30,000 miles, you're better off just keeping it the way it is, because if you change the oil, bad things are likely to happen.
So, Kendall Rogers of D1 Baseball has said that Tennessee is the school to watch for Maui Ahuna. This is the shortstop transfer from Kansas batted .396 for the Jayhawks last year. Kansas is firing their coach, and so he's jumping in the portal. And this could be – he could be next year's Dolander.
Next year's Dolander? A guy that,
you know, Tennessee gets in the portal that just turns into a superstar. And Chase Dolander was SEC Pitcher of the Year today, for those of you just joining us. This guy could be an SEC Player of the Year candidate next year for Tennessee if we get him.
I mean, I don't think we're going to have a hard time getting guys, top-tier talent, to want to come play here. The big thing will be, you know, in the past where you'd lose out on certain guys. It was what surrounded all the time. He had, on paper, he had really great classes coming in. But most of them never even got here because they all got drafted. That's something Vitello's been really good at. He gets the guys, the best of the guys that don't go straight out of high school. And develops him.
I mean, it's going to be interesting to see. Ortega is a redshirt sophomore, so he is draft eligible.
Oh, and I hate to lose him.
Yeah, who knows what he'll do? But you know, you get, and then I mean, who knows what Lawson will do? He's a junior, could be drafted, and he's had a really nice season at short for Tennessee. But essentially, you know, Blake Burke for Lipsius is going to be not much of a drop-off, if any, next year at first. You got Ortega, Lawson, and maybe we add this dude, Ahuna Matata, into the middle of the infield. Replacing Lipscomb at third is going to be difficult, but I thought replacing Rucker last year was going to be difficult, and we got better at the position, which is mind-boggling to say, but it's the truth.
Connor Pavloni was another one.
Yeah, remember at the end of last year, we were really wondering who all was going to step up, you know? But he's kind of built it up.
I mean, we're loaded in the outfield. Yeah, we're losing Gilbert and Beck, but you've got Kyle Booker out there. You've got
Christian Moore.
Hold up. Christian Moore can play outfield. He can play infield.
That may be the biggest snub, that he didn't make the all-freshman team. For as good as he's played for us this year.
Yeah. Jared Dickey comes back. Does Seth Stevenson, what is he a junior? He's a JUCO guy, right?
I don't know.
Would love to get another year out of him if possible. Feel like I'm missing a few guys.
Well, there's going to be some guys that I think Coach Vitello could make the – I wouldn't even call it a pitch, just sit down with them and they could vastly improve their draft stock with coming back for another year. So I wonder how many guys that can go, but they might be like, say, like a – like where would you imagine Ortega would be?
I have no idea. You're asking totally wrong. I have no idea, no earthly idea how that stuff works.
Yeah.
Somebody told me Jared Dickey could be a catcher next year. He could be the next Evan Russell.
That would be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Just weird that a guy that was batting leadoff for much of the year could end up being a catcher.
Why?
Because usually you know, you associate leadoff guys, you know, speed, and catcher usually associate with not speed, slow.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah, because they're bent down all the time. They have plastic knees.
Yeah. But that'd be cool, man. Have a fast catcher. I mean, Evan Russell's been – he's stolen a base or two this year. I mean, he's been a good athlete back there.
Oh, absolutely.
Did we ever – have they – did they just shut Halverson down?
Yeah, Tony Vitello said something about it. It was either Thursday or Friday during the broadcast. He said something about Halvey. He said, Halvey shut, you know, he said, we won't see him this year. He was very, very blunt and definitive and short and to the point about it. It was during the Mississippi State series. You know how when they do those in-between inning or whatever interviews with him?
Yeah.
He was talking to the guy. I think it was Thursday night when it was on SEC Network. But, yeah, and he pretty much said how he's not pitching at all this year. He's shut down.
Well, if he used the words this year, that would imply that perhaps he comes back next year.
I kind of feel like he needs to.
I mean, that would be a huge boost, and obviously you're getting the other guys back except for Tidwell. So
Joyce is gone, right?
Loaded. What's that?
I'm losing Joyce and Sewell.
Yes.
Cannell.
And I'm blanking the closer from Alcoa. I'm telling you, it's way too early
Redmond
for me
Walsh.
To be blanking like this.
Redmond.
Walsh is out. Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to do some damage in the portal. I mean, it sounds like recruiting is going great. I just think they're here to stay as a baseball power. So this week, assuming that Tennessee wins Wednesday and Thursday, they would not play Friday in the double elimination round. If my rather admittedly rudimentary understanding of how the SEC tournament works is correct, they could potentially, you know, this team's got four starters. They could potentially get through the SEC tournament with one start apiece for Dolander, Tidwell, Beam, and Burns. I mean, what a luxury it would be to be starting one of those guys on Sunday in the championship game when usually you're pretty much gassed and it's Johnny Fullstaff by that point. I mean, we could be throwing all those dudes are potential first-round picks. We could be throwing one of those guys out Sunday in the championship.
Oh, absolutely. Plus, we've got Ben Joyce now, who that was eye-opening for me when he started him. You get to Sunday with everybody's, you know, teams have been playing all week, and now suddenly, you know, Vitello just springs Ben Joyce on you. Top of the first.
Well, I just keep going back to last year down there, we started Sewell, and he had like a seven-inning masterpiece performance against Florida down there. So, yeah, we got options out the wazoo. Who do you throw out there first game? You just throw Dolly out there and make a statement, say, we're here to win this thing?
I don't know. I think you can make an argument a lot of different ways. I wouldn't put Burns out there first.
I just look at it, and we've been having this conversation about how do you set up the pitching staff? What do you do when Tidwell comes back? What do you do? You know, do you get this guy rest? What do you do? And at the end of the day, there's no bad answers to any of those questions, right? As a fan, first of all, you trust in this head coach. But second of all four of those dudes are excellent. And you could justify starting any one of them on any game. And it's interesting. At a certain point, we're going to get into a point of the season where you're fighting for your life, and that is going to be a difficult question to answer. And if you end up losing before you thought you should or would, then it's a situation that maybe will be second guessed.
See, I wonder if
sitting here today on Monday of SEC tournament week, you throw any one of those dudes out there Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, and I mean, that's the ideal scenario, right? Is you end up winning both games on Wednesday and Thursday, not having to play Friday, and then you just start all four of your dudes one game apiece, right? And you don't have to get into this weird, well maybe we start somebody who, you know, Sechrist or Joyce or one of those guys who's not one of our typical starters.
Sure. This week, I think, is going to be a little bit different. I think once we get to the regional – and hopefully Super Regional and World Series, I would think he would stack it so that if he gets in a position where we have to win a game, that's when I would roll Dolander. I would keep him just kind of reserved for must-win game. He's our best.
He has kind of established himself as the ace at this point.
Yeah, he's the number one, man. He's pitcher of the year in the league.
All right, on the way out the door, special shout-out to Chris Woodruff in the tennis team. Great year for Tennessee tennis. It won't be another banner for Banner Dan. They did make the Final Four. I don't know if they do Final Four banners in tennis, but ran into a juggernaut Virginia team yesterday. This weekend, season comes to an end, but it was a great run again for a program that's really hitting on all cylinders, tennis program under Bearden grad Chris Woodruff, doing big-time things. Folks, we got to roll. Thank you, Bear. Thank you, Jake. Thank you, Marcus. Appreciate you guys. I promise. I'll be here on time tomorrow. I got to leave early. But I'll be here on time tomorrow on many of these fine fan-run affiliates. Until then, Russell Smith signing off. Have a great evening. We'll do it again tomorrow here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.